Hello, listener. This is Marty V, and I have exciting news. Romance Writers Therapy is now sponsored by Plotter.com. That's Plotter.com. And as you remember from our conversation with Troy Lambert, Plotter is a storyboarding software that makes moving around the pieces of your story in a really color-coded, lovely way, but also very intuitive to use the software. So if you haven't checked out Plotter.com, go do that. Thank you, Plotter, for sponsoring our adorable little podcast, and we're happy to bring you on board.
Welcome to Romance Writers Therapy. Well, oh, you were doing
no,
it.
No, I wasn't. Just messing with you. Okay. You can try again. I can't guarantee I won't mess with you.
Oh, okay. Hi, welcome to Romance Writers Therapy. This is Marty V and Kate Pryor.
I'm Marty V and that's Kate Pryor.
Yes.
We should.
Couldn't. You were just, I was too fast. You couldn't mess with
no,
me.
No, you did so well. That was the best way to thwart all of my plans. So,
yeah.
Now I want us to talk really slow. Like, just really
no,
mess
I
with
think
the cadence.
That's the way to, like, just immediately turn the podcast.
Yeah, people
off.
Are like, I'm done. I hate these bitches.
You know, like, there was that moment in Zootopia where, like, the sloth. I'm talking about a movie that's, like, 10 years old.
Yeah, and
I've
only seen it, like, while I'm in the room and Jude watches it, so.
Okay. My dad showed me the clip with the sloth at least 10 different times.
So
and it was like, I know the joke. I know the punchline. I have to sit through this very slow joke. And it just absolutely killed me.
I love that your dad loved it so much,
like,
though.
Not in a funny way.
Not in a funny way. Like, actual torture.
Like, just torture.
Just torture.
Like, ooh. Like, I'm mad at the animators for including this joke in the movie.
So, listener, Jude, I'm going to start calling you by Jude's name, apparently.
Okay.
Kate and I were trying to figure out when to record, tonight or in a couple nights. And I told her that I wanted to record tonight because my nails have to be done. And so I just got excited because I get to start doing my nails.
That's what you're excited for.
That is what I'm excited for. I mean, I'm sure we're going to have a great conversation, but...
Okay. I see what your motives are here.
I mean, they look so nice now that I've been painting them during our conversations, though. It's such an improvement to my hands. So, Kate, what have you been writing?
I've been sidetracked, honestly, and working on, like, a little project. And it was, like, right after I had, like, a little epiphany. Like, actually, you know what? My story does need a consistent plot line or something like that. And then I was like, actually, I'll go work on something else.
That was, like, the last thing that you and I talked about, where you were like, I think there needs to be, like, this sort of change to the story. I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And then you were like, I'm not writing that right now. Like, I don't even know why you would bring that up to me right now.
I'm working. My big project currently is my gargoyle thing. Mm-hmm. I think most of the scenes that I had written kind of spawned out of some frustration with, like, company-wide meetings. Mm-hmm. And having to travel mm-hmm. for work. And so they were really just centered around that. And so I actually got a lot out of that. And then I realized 18,000 words in. Oh, no. I don't have a plot.
Oh, man. That's so rough.
Like, I don't have a reason these two are together besides just kind of, like,
being in the same
keep
room.
Bumping into mm-hmm. each other. Which is, like...
That's a plot.
The thing is, I know I've done this before. I just keep... Sometimes, like, it just keeps happening that I'm like, oh... I've gotten this far and I realized I'm missing an essential part of the engine.
Well, but I think that's kind of, I think that's kind of just, like, the nature of, like, discovery writing in general is, like, you'll get to the point where you realize, like, oh, I don't know where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. And, like, I say, like, it's fine. Like, you can throw plot in there at editing. It's just going to be...
We'll save it for the edit.
Yeah. Future Kate will know so much more than current Kate. So, but, like, you know, just make the editing process harder, essentially, but you'll have something
well,
to
so
edit.
There's this, kind of like hated phrase in the film industry on the making side of it, which is we'll fix it in
post.
That is
exactly what I was just thinking.
Which is like, yeah, whenever they say like, oh, it's fine that like he wasn't wearing his full makeup or like whatever, you know, like, oh, it's fine that we didn't reset the stage correctly. We'll just like have someone do some creative editing around it or CGI it in. Like something like mm-hmm. that it's like.
And you don't want to fix it in post?
It's because like just the nature of what fix it in post means. I feel like applying that to every, like I just kind of subconsciously apply it to, if you have to like go back and like reinsert this thing, it's going to be so much harder. Like, don't wait till you're done. If you just have to backtrack a little,
mm-hmm.
when you realize, oh, I'm going to need to fix that later. It's like, no, fix it now.
Yeah.
Backtrack if you have to fix it now. You're going to have so much of a much harder time.
I think that I like that plan, but like, I also, you know, sometimes you just have a different process than you originally thought you would. You know what I mean? Because I'm currently...
Yeah, no, not every book gets written the same way.
No, I don't know people who, like, yeah, mine definitely don't. Because, like, I'm currently writing where I have a pretty strong sense of, like, the story arc, but less of a sense of the character arcs. And so I know those are going to be things that I have to go through and add when this draft is done. Like, I just know that, like, I'm not going to question too much right now because I'm really enjoying writing. I'm really enjoying, like, getting into, like, the setting and stuff like that. And if I fixate on the fact that, like, I don't know these characters, like, motivations perfectly right now, then the joy is going to be taken out of it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I'm just like, I do think that, you know, you do have to run with something as far as like the sheer joy of it will take
you. Yeah.
But I also really hate the process of going back and like splicing a new plot in.
See,
it's so painstaking and you have to reread this so many times. You get so lost. So, like, that's just, like, my feelings about it.
I actually, well, and, like, I've mentioned this before, like, I really like editing. And so...
Okay, yeah, you also like it a lot better than I do.
Yeah, so I think that you and I just have a different, like, attitude towards it and a different experience with it. Because, yeah, it comes around to editing this thing, and nothing feels more, like, clear. Like, this is getting so much better with every single sentence, and it just gives me so much dopamine. Where a lot of times with the first draft, I'm constantly like, is this the right word to use? Is this the right vibe here? Like, I'm just constantly questioning every moment in the drafting process. That when editing comes around, it just feels so, so clear that everything is growing.
Okay, yeah.
I've got one hand painted.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. How what color are you choosing tonight?
It is Cabaret with Bay. It's a very deep, like... purple-ish kind of color, like a very berry color.
Okay.
Mostly it was just the color that was down here right now. I actually would prefer a brighter color, but we're going with it.
I gravitate towards, like, I'm sorry, oh, go I'm ahead. Feeling with my mouth full. Nude colors for, like, nails a lot.
I rarely do and nude colors.
Because I am personally translucent, it's very hard to find something that matches. And so I picked up like the lightest shade of pink in the store the other day, and then like I put it on and it's coral. It's a deep dark pink coral, and it's like in the bottle it doesn't look like this. On my hands it does.
I just took off like a bright red that I used from a friend, and I have to replace my bright red. But yeah, I need to replace it because like that bright red was just so fun on my hands.
Yeah, no, it's a lot.
Right?
I always feel like when I wear dark nail polish, it, like, just makes my fingers look chubbier. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know. It just kind of, like, cuts them off where they end, where...
Yeah, like, where the...
A nude color will, like, make your fingers seem longer.
Huh. I've never gotten that impression. Oh, my gosh. It was so funny one time. I brought like nail polish to a place I worked, which was like a bridal boutique. Mm. And I just brought one color, and it was a bright red. And one of my friends.
Oh my God, did you spill it on a dress?
No, God, no. I had it nowhere near dresses.
Okay, good.
But one of my friends, God, that is the most like rom-com scenario you could possibly throw out. One of my friends.
I'm sorry. My mind just immediately jumps to like
the worst thing that could happen.
It's like, yeah. If there's something, if you're holding something deeply staining, uh-huh. Then it's like, what's nearest that is
going to
the
stain
worst
it.
Thing to yeah. get stained.
But one of my friends put it on and like, she was like, this is, I feel like, guys, does this color make me look like a whore? Right? And she kept on asking, and I'm like, hey, that's actually my nail color. Yeah, does it make me look like a whore?
Rip.
Like, dude, I picked that out. Does it make me look like a whore? I don't think so. Do you? Like, girl, you have to stop asking.
Yeah, that's a big look for your friends.
But like, meanwhile, I still love the color and I don't care. But it was really funny. Like, dude, I don't know. Do you feel like you look like a whore with that nail polish on? What a weird association. Oh man, that was so funny to me.
Mm.
Ooh, this is a fun question. So, like, what choices do you like to give your characters to, like on what they wear and like stuff like that? Like, what color nails would your characters pick for themselves?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't. I feel like when I'm writing characters, uh-huh. like, sorry, this is just no, a yeah. complete diversion from what you
okay,
just
cool,
asked.
Okay, cool, cool, cool.
It's the thought I had, like, I don't, like, why I couldn't answer your question. You know, I feel like, actually, so, like, a really good example of this is, like, when, early on when I first met you and first, like, kind of met our writing group,
mm-hmm.
and it was... It came pretty clear pretty quickly that all of you, everyone in the group is 10 years older mm-hmm. than me, at least.
Yeah, I think I'm one of the older, I might be the oldest person in the group at that time.
You think?
I think so. I think I am like a year to 6 months older than everybody. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we're all like, you know, 8 to 9 years older than you. We're significantly older than you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Maybe not a whole 10, but like.
But we're pushing at least it. 5. It's pretty close.
Yeah. And at the beginning of the pandemic, I was like, what, 3-4 years ago now?
Yeah, you were like 23, right?
20. Yeah, it's 23. It started in 2019.
Yeah. And we were locked down in April of 2020.
Yeah. And so, like, it was, I felt like very much aware of how much younger I was compared to the rest mm-hmm. of you, that I felt like I had to write my characters a bit older, mm-hmm. you know? Because we were sharing our chapters with each other and constantly critiquing on each other. And I was like, I have to write older characters who would be more relatable to my friends.
Okay.
Then some, like, I think I was also kind of listening to a lot of critiques about other books, about people who were saying, I don't want to read YA because I'm tired of reading about teenage, you know, heroes and mm-hmm. heroines.
I definitely feel like that has been... like a comment that's kind of thrown all over the internet in the past, like,
yeah,
5 years
I think
or
sometimes
so.
People
yeah.
have a moment where they realize that they've aged out of a genre, out of like being interested mm-hmm. in a genre, you know, in the same way that like not everyone's interested in watching Barney anymore.
Exactly.
Like,
but like, instead of just accepting like I don't want to read that, they also now are making critical comments.
Yeah, and sometimes they're
people.
Like mm-hmm. Yeah, like, they make critical comments, but they also kind of, maybe they don't understand that there's a new genre for them to move mm-hmm. on to that would meet their emotional needs, be, like, on the same level of, like, character, like, you'd read about characters your age, not just teenagers fighting dystopias or
yeah, exactly.
whatever. You know, and, like, oh, God, I'm getting so lost from what my
okay.
original thought was.
You aged up your characters.
So, yeah, and then I realized I was doing that, and I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be trying to write, because, like, I kept feeling like I was getting it wrong, because I was trying to write something I hadn't experienced mm-hmm. yet, and you know, like there is like all that write what you know, but also like you can write characters that you haven't lived their experience.
Yeah, but like having something that you
there's like some nuance in how well you can do that and
mm-hmm.
how in depth you can go with that. Like obviously not every character in your book is gonna be within your scope of experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've never been a man.
And so like,
but I write male characters. Yeah.
And like just like so all the ages and everything else you've never been, it's like there's also just like the personalities you don't mm-hmm. have. Does that absolutely. Make sense? So I feel like I'm taking the long way around to get to my point.
Absolutely. I think that that's a really good point. Because like particularly I kind of wrote like character after character that was like male character that was like quiet. Right. Yeah. And that's definitely not a natural state for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember, God, when I was like, I think I was in high school and my brother made this comment to me. He's like, every female character, right, is like over the top crazy. And I was like, yeah, because that's the kind of person I want to write about. And then it was like, you kind of write like the people you want to be, but like, or the people you enjoy the mm-hmm. most, like that kind of
yeah.
thing. And then like, it's, I don't know, it's just like the long growth of like, writing characters that you don't necessarily relate to is such a weird thing. Does that make sense? And it's like, so I can't really see what choices a character would make because it's like, I am invoking, like for Janice, I remember giving her like this, like, so she's obviously older than me. She's meant to have like be kind of jaded and have been at her job for a long time. And I think I gave her kind of, for me, it was a throwaway line because it was like, maybe I'll come back and write a funnier joke.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, she's going to spend her weekend with like a bottle of white wine and an HGTV marathon. And I'm sure there's people out there who are like, yeah, relatable.
Yeah.
But for like me, it's like, I don't particularly enjoy either of those things, but I know there are people who do. Yeah. But I don't know. So it's kind of like a shot in the dark.
Yeah, no, I get that. I personally have been trying to focus more on, like, what accessories my characters choose, right?
Okay, okay.
Because I tend to not wear any.
A chain wallet. A wallet chain.
Yes, exactly. A wallet chain. That's my guy.
All across the board.
Across the board. But, like, I have one character I've decided, like, okay, he wears a baseball cap. Like, he wears a baseball cap all the time. Right? And then another one that, like, wears contacts during the day, but, like, when he gets home, he wears his glasses. Right? Like, so I'm trying to, like, think of, like, smaller details that I could bring into my characters a bit more. And it's making me realize, like, there's one character I'm writing right now that, like, yeah, she probably would have her nails painted. And it would be, like, notable as she's talking with her hands, right? Like, I could totally just, that would just be, like, the smallest thing to, like, give her a little bit more color on page.
No, I like that. I like, because people do often have a lot of, like, little accessories about them mm-hmm. that, you know, you kind of don't really, you kind of skip over. Uh-huh. Even when you see these people in real life, or you may not even notice someone's wearing contacts.
Yeah.
I really like that. I think I want to try doing something, like, just focusing on what people, the little things that they've got.
Yeah. Well, and, like, is their hair in a ponytail, or could they be using, like a Jaws clip? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like I run into the kind of defaulting to the visual cue language of, like, the 80s with movies. 80s movies. You know, if someone's wearing glasses, obviously that they're kind of more studious. Quiet and bumbly and like, yeah. And like, if they've got their hair up in a ponytail, it means they're not very confident in themselves.
Oh, because like, I go sporty.
Those kinds of things. Oh, you go sporty? Uh-huh. Maybe it's definitely like a thing that when I was working, I was an intern and my boss just kind of said out of nowhere, he was on the phone with someone. And, like, I was, like, working right there next to him. I had my hair up in a ponytail. And he just said out of nowhere, you know what they say. When a woman has her hair up, it means she doesn't think well of herself.
And I was wow. like,
what?
Do they say that? Because I've never heard them say that.
And so, like, that just kind of stuck with me. It's like, yeah, I guess I do put my hair up when I don't feel great about myself.
Well, because I've heard...
And it's just, like, the weirdest thing. Because it's like, yeah, it feels on point, but also, like, it feels weirdly sexist.
Oh, it's very sexist. Right? Because, yeah. like, there's no comparison. Like, you know, if a guy doesn't shave his face, yeah. he doesn't feel well about himself. Like, there's no comparison there.
Well, and no, it's also, I think, like, you do see in movies a lot, like, if a guy grows out a beard, it's like, oh, he's not taking care of
himself. Yeah, but, like, it's not a throwaway, comment like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no one really makes it. Yeah, you don't see people make comments.
But, like also, though. I feel like women have comments like that in our society because we're supposed to value our looks above all else, right? Like, we're supposed yeah. to find our value in our appearance more than men are. And not to say that, like, you know, societal standards don't affect all of us. They do. But, but, like, yeah, no, that feels very misogynistic. I remember hearing once, like, they were doing this stupid, like, it was like a BuzzFeed video or something like that. And they were, like, showing, like, saying, like, hairstyles to men and asking them, like, what do you think of, like, when a woman, like, wears her hair down and curly, right? And, like, so they're asking, you know, 25-year-old men, like, what do you think of this, right? And, like, they were, like, what about a low ponytail? And they were, like, I just think that it's, like, what they do when they don't know what to do with their hair. And it's, like, I think stay in your lane, dude. Right? And, like, in their defense, they were being asked these questions for their opinion, right? But, like, also, like, why are we asking them their opinion of women's hair? If you want to attract a man, cool, great. I understand hair is part of that in a lot of ways. But, like, let's not give them, like, the driver's seat in this situation, right? Like, what do you think of a low ponytail? And it's just like, so now anytime I put my hair in a low ponytail, I'm like,
I think about it.
Yeah. It's just like one of those annoying things that gets stuck in your head.
Well, I think, you know, on like a level, it is like such a simple hairstyle that it does kind of suggest like no effort goes into this. And
but like, that's its point, right? Like, yeah. like as a woman with like long hair, it to be professional, I have to do something with it typically, right? Like the option of just going out and being taken for like seriously as a professional with my hair in its natural down state is less likely than like if I were to throw it back into a nice, sleek, low ponytail, right? Also, I'm not going to mess with it so much when I'm getting my crap done because, you know, I don't just have thousands of tendrils of hair in my face. So like it's a dual purpose hairdo here. So I don't know. Oh, I'm sorry. Apparently it's a snow day for like everyone right now. So they're just calling it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm so jealous. We've had stupid warm weather here.
We are getting an ice storm like currently, apparently. I haven't gotten a text message from the school yet, so I might not have a snow day. My friend, you know, a while away, does. She's also, like, closer to lake effect, right? So, listener, you're welcome for this exciting conversation about weather.
Michigan weather report a week late.
Yes, a week late. Oh, should we tell them that we're going to take a break?
Yeah.
Like, did you want to do a better...
wrap up the episode.
Oh, okay. You don't
fear we would like, want to just throw it in there a little bit more. Well, so I feel like we've stumbled onto like our topic of when you create a character, how do you create your characters? Because that's something I'm kind of actually bumping into lately is like, you know, whenever it's like, all right, now I gotta write another character, another book, new characters. And it's like, oh God.
So part of
how do I yet another one? How do I make them different? And then it's also like, lost my thought. You go.
Okay. Well, part of, like, what I will consider when I'm creating a character is, like, right now I'm looking at writing series based on, like, a group of people, right? And so I like to think about, like, what is the dynamic of these people in this group? And okay. so each person kind of has their own role. so that their voice stands out from someone else's in the group. And so that's part of what is going into my considerations. Also, I like to think about, like, if someone's a nervous character, what is their nervous behavior? If someone is, like, a loud character, do they interrupt people while they talk? Right? Like, what is something that can kind of be something that isn't super obvious to people, but is also a savvy reader could be like, oh, so when they feel nervous, they do this. Right? And so, like, it's almost like this thing that, like, as a reader, it makes you feel more so like you're on the in circle with this character.
Okay, yeah.
How about you? What do you do?
I mean, I feel like for so long, what I do is I just harvest, like, a facet of my experience. Mm-hmm. And so that makes the whole having a character who's outside of my experience kind of weird to write. I do think it's, like, a vital skill to have, but it's also, like, one I don't think I have currently.
Well, I mean, I don't think that that's abnormal at all. Like, my ability to write characters outside of my experience has grown as I've grown more experiences.
Yeah.
And so, like, you describing what it feels like to be 25 writing these characters just feels very much like a mental state that I had at 25. It is okay. It is easier as you get older because you have so much more to pull on. Like, you have every year you have a new set of experiences and, like, true, all new highs, all new lows, like, all these things in between. And so, like, I definitely hear and understand what you're saying. And I can just tell you, like, you're doing great for where you're, like, where you're at. You're doing great. But, like, all of these little things are going to get more nuanced for you as you get more experiences, too.
God, I don't know how much more nuance I can take. No, like that's a little bit of a joke, but also, like, sometimes I sit down and I'm like, is my brain done developing yet? Is it? Are we?
You guys, I could be convinced it's not.
Yeah, no, it's always like, oh, another new thing. I'm sick of new things.
God, I hear ya. I don't know, because, like, a lot of these new things, like, yeah, saying, like, there's new things, and it's a pretty natural state for your brain to be like, that's going to be more input, and that's going to be, like, there's going to be bad things with those new things, but there's a lot of really good things with them, too. And, like, all of these experiences just, you know, one of the great things about being a writer is, like, every experience you have is harvestable.
Yeah. There's a lot to be said about, like, harvesting parts of your personality and your traumas and, like, things that, like, it's not the healthiest thing to do. I think if you feel like it's good to, like, talk about things, if you feel you need to, like, process them and get them out, and, like, writing can be a great tool for that. Writing a story can be extremely cathartic in that way. But, I think a lot of people more eloquent than I am on this, and, like, with a lot more to say on this topic, have talked about harvesting your traumas.
Well, I don't...
And feeling compelled to, in, like, the... Like, just in your... People who are feel like they're artists who are, you know, who are artists, who are actors, who are writers, all, like, in that creativity spectrum.
I don't necessarily mean, like, you have to harvest your traumas. I just mean, like the way you observe, like, people watching, right? Like, you're sitting there and you're just kind of, like, not able to hear what someone's saying, but you can see, like, the way that they move their hands and, like, all these things. And, like, you're able to, like, piece that into, like, a character without having, like, without seeing how people behave. Like, how do you write how people behave, right? And so, like,
yeah, no, I get you, and I don't feel like you're okay. Trying to say you have
I definitely
harvest your trauma.
I definitely don't. Just, like, I don't advocate that at all.
Made me remember things that I've, like, seen people talk about or read people's thoughts on. Like, yeah,
well, and I also think
I didn't feel like I could accurately recall what the bulk of that was about, like, the details.
Well, and I definitely think that, like, that is part of, like, the bill of goods that is sold about writing art, right? About art in general, that it should come from, like, a place of, like, anguish or, like, a personal life experience. Like, I don't need to cry while writing for it to be art. And I don't need it to hurt people in order for it to be important. Right? And
yeah.
So, like, I feel like that just kind of perpetuates that whole, like, concept of, like, you know, the only thing worth ingesting is something that harms you. And, like, personally, yeah. I just read a book that I really enjoyed. But, like, man, that thing was bananas. And there were a couple things I was, like, I was listening to it on audio. And, like, there was a couple things I'm, like, I'm just going to skip ahead a minute. Like, I don't need to linger here. I understand the plot point. We're moving on. So, yeah. Yeah, that one was that one was bananas.
So. There was, like, a TikTok I saw earlier today, I think. And it was not the exact quote, but, like, the gist of what she ended up saying was that, like, romance people who are saying all the people who are saying they enjoy reading romance novels nowadays are doing so in like an anti-intellectualist effort, and it was like
I bet that went well. I bet that went well with her, like for her on the internet. Like I'm sure no one came for her at all.
I did not stick around to like read the comment section. I was just like, like it's one thing to be like, actually, I like Marvel movies.
Yeah.
In like yeah, okay, you're allowed to like Marvel movies. I get that they're like most people don't think that they're top grade cinema or whatever, but like there's nothing wrong with enjoying them.
No, there's
or maybe there is. I don't know, but like
not in a harmful way, really. Like, no. Like you're not gonna hurt a person by enjoying a Marvel movie, and a lot of people are making money off of putting together that work, right? Like how like they're making money. Putting together this big blockbuster, and does that mean that now they get to go do lighting for a theater piece they feel really like passionate about? Like, you know, like we don't get to decide the merit of someone else's professional choices, right?
Yeah and it's just like it's the judgment of like what people do to enjoy in their free time. Like I don't know, I've been really noticing when people talk about decentering productivity in your life, and people talking about if you enjoyed doing this time waster, then it wasn't a waste of time.
Yeah, you yeah, know? Absolutely. That is
that kind of thing.
That is something I have had to work really, really hard trying to like tell myself, like sitting down and watching this reality show that is without question toxic, but like. I'm enjoying it. It like I feel giddy watching it. It is giving me dopamine. It is worth my time, right?
Oh, did you know our friend Rebecca Conrad has never seen an episode of The Bachelor until like last week?
I've never seen one.
You haven't seen it either. One. Okay, I'm gonna get you guys on board. You guys are gonna watch this with me.
I can't wait.
It's so much fun to just be like look at these immensely beautiful people and you know, just constantly bitch about every little thing that happens. It's so nice.
It sounds like so much fun. I saw a TikTok today that was like a woman that was like, I made the realization today that these dating shows, there is not a drop of water in that entire place and they are being served nothing but alcohol and hors d'oeuvres. Like these people are drunk and starving. And their behavior makes so much more sense now. Yeah. But it's so entertaining. It's so fun. I can't take this away from me right now. I don't have it. Maybe someday I will be able to work on myself and find something else I enjoy that I don't feel conflicted about. But right now I just love it. So
it's such a fucking mind... I don't even know what the word it like to grow up in like a really pretentious like attitude that intellectualism and academia and being smarter than everyone else is the highest pursuit of light. It's so Faustian.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Like it's and you like you're just so into that and you're like, oh, I would never watch SpongeBob. I would never watch a dating
reality show. Yep, absolutely.
And then, like, you do, and then you're like, actually, this is so much fun.
Yeah, I have spent so much time being condescending when I could have just been having fun. Right?
Yeah. And I don't know. It's, God, we are lost this episode.
Yeah, we are covering many a ground.
Well, all right, let's keep on the segment of character creation.
Oh, are we? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sheepherding us in a border collie kind of way.
I just had an idea. Okay. I'm sorry, it's something I can't say here, but I have to say it out loud later, okay?
Oh, okay. With regards to, like, when you decide to, like, write characters, how do you feel like you end up making your lead couple of book?
Like what?
Complement each other. Like how do you feel like you make two distinct characters and then you find a way for them to fall in love? Or do you feel like you create two characters who already complement each other in a lot of ways and you just put obstacles between them? Like, tell me what, like, there's so many different ways you can do this, I feel like. And
I don't have a great answer for this.
Okay. I guess we'll just skip it then.
Well, do you have an answer for it? Because I would be very interested in this answer. I think it's a great question.
You know, I was thinking about this question because there was, like, a thing I was, like, a promotional materials kind of thing with other authors I was working on. And one of the, I don't think this stuff ended up being used, but there was, like, a little questionnaire about what kind, like just the question I think was, what quality do your orcs in your books look for? What makes a good orc love interest? And I kind of had, like, a moment. I was thinking, like, that Bo Burnham song, where he's talking about, like, the Justin Bieber song of, like, oh, let me make this as vague as possible so that I can appeal to as many women as possible.
Yeah.
Every girl will think the song is about her. And I, like, it was like, I was thinking about that. I was like, I don't want to be like, oh, just brunettes. I don't know. Fuck. Like, I didn't have a good answer.
Birthing for hips.
Like, I don't want to make people feel excluded. Big ass. Yeah. That's it.
That is such an interesting question.
You know, and, like, I feel like it wasn't, like I felt like where the place where the question was coming from, and I felt maybe it was just the way that it was worded that made me, like, yeah, I have no answer for this.
Yeah.
Maybe if it was just, like, a little bit different, I would have been like, oh, yeah, no, of course I knew that.
Well, because, like, what I think was, like, do your orcs, you know, value, like, a fiery woman? Because that is, like, that's the proof of a orc woman that could live sort of thing, right? That could survive.
That sounds like... Like the implications.
Yeah, yeah.
So great, but I do think that's, like, the gist of it. But at the same time, it was like, no, I feel like I'm trying to write characters that feel distinct from each other. Like, like, I'm going in with the goal of I would like these two to not be copies of each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then it was like, oh god, I can't really think of a good overlap. But also, like, I don't think I want to write characters who are like, I'm just after this one trait.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and, like, I as a reader prefer reading, like, a variety of characters, right?
Yeah.
And then also, like, I understand why it is a good idea to, like, repeat the same, like, character structure over and over, because then you get, like, diehard fans that really are all about, you know, your cinnamon roll with your, I keep on saying feisty, but I kind of hate that word, your feisty female lead, right? And, like, if somebody loves that dynamic, they'll just keep on coming back to you for it, right?
Yeah.
But that's not the way I want to write. Like, yeah. I like writing a lot of different people. And so, like, I will say that I tend to write if one character is a more quiet character, the person that they end up with tends to be louder, maybe more demanding, maybe more protective, right? Like, they're more likely to stand up.
I do like that dynamic, though.
What?
Yeah. I love that dynamic.
I'm trying to think of, like, so in, like, Truth or Dare, I wouldn't say that I really thought about, like, how do these two characters fit together as much as, like, they want to be together, therefore they fit. Does that make sense? And, like, that's kind of the way I look at writing my characters in general. It's, like, they want to fit together, therefore they do. And so, like, it's not so much about, like, how they balance each other out typically as much as, like, it's about, like, them just getting over the obstacles that are between them.
Yeah. And, you know, I think there's, like, kind of a micro trope in either side of it. I think, like, God, you know those, like, those TikToks that are like, if you like this trope, it means this is your psychological wound. So it's like, oh, if you like soulmate tropes, then you want just someone who is, like, so perfectly attuned to you that they could never leave you.
Wow. Like that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yes, I know what you're talking about.
And, like, I do think it's a little bit of that, but then there's also the flip side. It's like, you like, oh, you like someone who wants to be here and wants to be in love with you. And, like, well, you want someone who's going to, like, fight for your affection no matter what.
Like, yeah. Well, and I think that is, like, just the truth of, like, anything. Like, you can, like, it just depends on
I think you can extrapolate some kind of Freudian.
Absolutely. And, like, nonsense, it doesn't make it not true, but it also doesn't make it nearly as important as all that, right? Like,
yeah.
Do you like enemies, like, to lovers because you want to be loved for all of your flaws? Like, yeah, absolutely. Is that bad? Like, absolutely. So, yeah. And, like, anything.
No, I do think they all kind of scratch a different itch. It's just, like, what do you feel like is the best way to, like, what? It, not even the best way. That's not the way I want to phrase questions, honestly. What is the way you are doing it?
What's the question? I lost it.
God, I lost myself in there. I think it was, you did kind of answer, and then I just asked it again.
I answered a question?
As if your answer wasn't good enough.
I don't remember answering a question.
Oh, no, it was, you said, oh, I want them to be falling in love with each other because they want to, not because they're made for each other in a cosmically altering kind of way.
Yeah. And I think that kind of just boils down to, like, it feels weird to say it here, but, like, my brand in general, where I just kind of want these love stories to fit in a world that feels really, like, realistic to people.
Yeah, and I think for, like, contemporary romance, that's a good goal to have. Yeah. It's, I think that really aligns with the genre's kind of priorities.
I think, like, contemporary has a bit of a sliding scale in that way. Right? Like, there's definitely the, this is contemporary, it's set in a world that you recognize, therefore these characters and their struggles are what you recognize too, right? Mm-hmm. But I think there's also the spectrum of, this is contemporary, but you're still gonna have to suspend some reality, right? Like, I think that, like, I feel like contemporary kind of needs to be, like, broken into even further pieces.
Yeah, like subgenres?
Kinda. Like, contemporary realism. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
By terms of, like, how realistic.
Yeah, because, like, I think that this really motivates different readers in different ways.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Because, like, if somebody wants to read it and kind of suspend their reality, then I might not be the best person for them. Right? But if they, like, if they want, like, a rom-com where, I don't know, I don't have a great example, where, like, everything could almost be chick lit, like, ridiculous, then, like, I'm not there,
well, like,
in that way.
So that's...
But we're in the same category.
Yeah, I getcha. I think that's kind of, like, hitting, like, when we talk about your stuff isn't gonna be for everybody and not everyone, like, that's not your reader.
But it's, like, how do I niche down to, like, make sure that I'm advertising to my reader? Right? And, like...
Yeah, no, I get that. I don't feel well read enough in your specific niche to answer that. I feel like maybe there's specific things that if you really focused on searching for that while reading in your niche, you would be able to find. Like, when we were talking to DJ, like, what are the things that people use to signal to each other on their covers?
Yeah.
I think maybe that's the kind of thing you would find in the type of titles that people use, like how they word their titles, mm-hmm. how they word their summaries, their how they market themselves. There would be like really subtle indicators there.
Well, but like it's also really interesting to me because like there were two authors that someone in a review compared me to. Like readers of this, like these two authors, I think would really like Marty. And she's like, but Marty writes spicy, right? So like she was able to draw these comparisons, but they both don't write Open Door, right? And so like we have similar covers. I would say we have similar names and they're Closed Door. But I haven't had anyone complain about being Open Door either. I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel like we're kind of in a time where like everyone's trying to figure out how to be very specific about who they're marketing to, but also we're like, well, these are the trends, so we're going to do them.
Also, like everything is always just a wave of trends and marketing that trend.
Well, and like
you know, I feel like these things are shifting, but that just means you have to shift with them.
Well, and like I do newsletter swaps a lot, and like I've heard. I didn't realize that this was a part of the conversation, but like I heard recently that people were like, oh, newsletter swaps don't work anymore. And it's like, really? Because they work great for me. And I think a big part is because of Just Fake Mary's cover. Like I, you know, I did a good job with the blurb and like stuff like that. But like the cover is so stinking cute. Right. And I think that people just stop and read more about it because it looks good. So good job, Kate.
Aww.
But yeah, so like I don't have the experience of these swaps not working well because they tend to work really well for me.
I think you also kind of hit upon something maybe even accidentally like a second ago about even the pen name that you choose can kind of indicate like how well versed you are in your genre.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think so.
Like, and I kind of wonder what the nuances in romance are. I can imagine, like, if you're a historical or Regency writer, having a more flowery sounding pen name would, you know, do better for you than having a kind of more modern pen name sound.
But then we say that, and Tessa Dare, I think, has a pretty modern name.
Well, so I can see Tessa being used as, like, a Regency nickname.
Okay.
And I think the thing that works about her pen name is that I think also Tessa is her first name.
Like in the realties?
Yeah, because like it does actually have her real name in her book. In like
the copyright. Okay. Yep.
But I think Dare does have this kind of whimsical romance sound to
well,
it.
Well, and
you know, and so like her Facebook group is the Damsels Who Dare.
That's so cute.
And I think like there you go.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, to your point, I don't think Marty V would be a good, like, pen name for romantic, like, historical romance, right?
Yeah. And, I mean, like, I think it, I don't know how much within subgenres it works, but, like, I just, you know, was thinking, because you said it, I was like, oh, yeah, I guess every, like, neo-Wiccan spiritualist book I've ever looked at has had names like Raven Silver or Llewellyn, you know, like get like this and that, and like every like high fantasy book I feel like either has like a guy's name or like six initials up front, you know, everyone's doing the J.R. Tolkien thing.
Absolutely.
And I don't know,
I think that's really interesting. Well, it's funny because like people when they hear my pen name, if they comment on it, they'll be like, it sounds like a really cool girl in like an 80s movie. And that has, that has always been the vibe I've had from it too. And it's one of the reasons why I like it. Like, it just, there is like a certain like character to that pen name. My pen name.
Man, I wish I put more thought into mine, but.
I was just going to say like.
Too late now.
Where did Pryor come from?
Oh, I can't actually tell you that because it's too stupid.
Oh, you need to tell me off the camera, like off the recording.
I can tell you now. It's just you're gonna laugh.
I can't wait.
You're gonna be like, "That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard."
I'm ready.
So I play the Elder Scrolls game a lot.
I don't know what that is.
Elder Scrolls games, plural.
Okay.
It was a video game mystical lands, dragons, blah, blah, blah. In the third one, I want to say.
Oblivion's Elder Scrolls 3, right? You wouldn't know. Okay.
Yeah, okay, so Oblivion. No, I think it's 4. Okay, so it's it's not important. There's like a quest where you have to go to Wainan Priory, and that is where you get your first quest that leads you to Martin Septim, who is like the unofficial heir of, like, and there's a lot of like really into the story, but Martin's just a character that I absolutely loved, and so it was like, oh, the Priory's like just a really important place to me. Okay. So I was like, I'll just use that, 'cause like
that's cute.
No, it's not.
It's dumb. Is it dumb? I think it's cute.
I don't feel like it's a good reason, but it's also like, eh.
Well, I mean, for one thing, you could have lamented over it, you know, for so long, or you could just do like, this feels good and right, right? But like,
yeah,
like it's still like a part of media that you really like and you really like resonate with this character. I was waiting for you to tell me it was like Martin's last name, and so you were like Mrs. Martin Pryor. I think
that would be worse.
That's what I was waiting for. No. So you did great. So, oh my gosh,
exceeded expectations.
You did great. Okay, so one time, I'll tell you off because like there's no reason for this.
Oh, okay.
I just made fun of like a 13-year-old at the mall one time.
Oh, okay,
so, like not. Yeah, not distinctly.
Keep your stories of bullying yeah, children off the podcast.
Okay, now I feel like I need to explain it. Okay, so I used to work at Barnes & Noble Cafe, and we would ask, like, their names, right, to put on the cup.
All right, yeah.
And then we had to call it out. And someone had, like, this... Friday night sucked, because we'd get, like, this stream of, like, children, right? Like, people would just drop their kids off at the mall, and then we'd just deal with them for them. And so, yeah, like, there's these two 13-year-old girls, and I take the order, I make it, and I look at the cup, and they were just, you know, there was nothing wrong with them. They were just being 13-year-old girls, but I was also just being a, like, cynical 24-year-old, too, so.
Okay.
No, I was even younger than that. Anyway, so I go to, and I have a loud voice. I go to call it out, and I just... She's right there. She's right there. She's reaching for the cup. And I just call out, Mrs. Bunting, right? Like, it wasn't Bunting, but it was, like, some other last name. And I just call it out, like, with my most, like, theater voice so that, like, it projects all the way across the entire store. Like, guaranteed. Everyone heard this perfectly. And she's like, she takes, she's like, thank you, and, like, runs off. And I'm like... Yeah, I think it's funny. Like, I think it's funny. You made me call this out. I'm okay with it. Like, anyway. Yeah, just mild bullying of a child.
I don't know that I would call that bullying.
It was like she started the game and I one-upped it, is how I feel about it. But, like, yeah. It was still distinctly funny.
Okay.
I thought it was hilarious.
I couldn't hear the name, so I'm like, ah.
Oh, she just, like, gave me, like, you know, she gave the name of, like, Mrs. and the last name of her crush sort of thing, right? So, like, it was, like, let's say, like, it might have been Styles or something like that. It might have been, like, like, her celebrity crush last name, right? Yeah. But, like, she's 13. She's no misses, like, sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
We're not quite that dystopian. But, yeah. So, I don't know. You know, she started the game. I just played it to the end. So, but, Kate, do you want to tell them things? I assume you're going to cut all sorts of things out of this episode.
Do you want me to cut that?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
It's actually like a story I think is pretty funny, but like, yeah, we can let it go. So I don't think my delivery here was great. So.
All right. I'm sorry that like your microphone cut out right as you were like telling me crucial details and I didn't laugh. I was like, I'm not laughing at the point where
this is punchline. I can feel it. Punchline territory.
Oh, if only I knew what it was. Yeah, let's tell them where we're at.
And oh, do you want to tell them, you know, about, like, our breaksy breaks?
Oh, okay. Yes. Yes. We're coming up on 50th episode?
Yeah.
Question mark, eventually. Mm-hmm. Because I think our first season had 25, and we talked about doing this season as 25 episodes, taking a little break, then on to the next one. Which seems like, I think, a good like, resting point.
I think so, too.
I think we took a break around this time last year. Maybe it was a few months later from now.
It was.
It was, like, April, right? Okay, so the plan, fingers crossed, is to come back in May.
Yes.
This is not going to be the last episode for the season. Probably a couple more.
Yeah, but we just want to...
Or we're going to have a big ender episode.
Like we did last time with the Madelines.
And, yeah. I think maybe we should do something like that again.
I think so, too. That was so much fun.
I think we should do something, like, we'll with tropes, exactly. though. So yes, we'll have to find some way to, like, mess with each other and tropes. Yeah.
I do love it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's all. That's most the business end of it.
Yeah.
And then we'll be back in May.
Yeah.
We should, like... No, I'll leave that for later. I'm gonna say sign up for my newsletter.
Yay! You can
do that at kate-pryor.com. Because I'm starting to use it now. I informed people about the sales that I was doing over Valentine's. And it was like, oh, people are actually opening it. Oh, this is so weird.
It's kind of like so much fun, isn't it? To like see how people are interacting with it.
Define interacting.
Well, like opening it if you have like links within it and you see like how they're clicking and like stuff like that. Like I find
that is cool. Yeah. That's like the kind of statistics I see from like my website.
Yeah.
It is less fun when you see like sent 2 emails in a row and then you get like an immediate unsubscribe and you're like, I'm sorry.
I actually love seeing unsubscribes because that's just people I don't have to kick out. Right?
My favorite email of the ones that I have on my list is like one that's called like just trash. I love you. You stay forever.
You stay here. Don't ever leave me.
I love the honesty because I too have trash email.
And I love that.
I put everything in it.
Just trash.
Yeah, but anyway, so sign up for that. You will hear from me once in a blue moon. Only during important things, really.
Okay. Well, good for you. That's exciting.
Yeah. Excited to do that more often.
Yeah.
Oh. What else is there? I don't know. You're on places.
Yeah.
You're MartyV.com and
Nope. I'm just Marty V at
no,
I'm just
Marty V. So sorry. MartyV.com.
Don't listen to her, listener.
V author Gmail.
Yes. And Marty the author at TikTok and Instagram. Kate is at by Kate Pryor on TikTok, Instagram. And you can sign up for my newsletter on the pop-up at MartyV.com. And it is honestly the best way to know what's like happening in my little writer world. That's the bee's knees over here. Oh, in April, I will have a free short story to send out to my newsletter. So, friends, sign up. Yeah.
And, like, this is, like, completely offhand, but since the contract is now signed, and I think it'll happen, fingers crossed. So, Love, Laugh, Lich and The Orc from the Office are getting adapted into audiobook format by Tantra Media. So
that is so cool. I'm so excited for you. Congratulations.
Yes, I'm mostly psyched that I don't have to do the audiobook production part
myself.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That has been quite the stop for me at this point. It's like,
It really is. Like, it's like you want to make things accessible.
I really do.
And, like, I love audiobooks so much because, like, that's, like, I feel like the primary way I get my reading done now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so difficult as an indie author to be part of that, like, to be part of that world because you have to foot the bill of all the production and then you have to kind of deal with the fact that you're probably not gonna have the reach to make that pay off.
Well, it is definitely like, okay, this is a one-time cost, and now this product just exists, right? So you do have, it's a long game, right? I have been looking at reading for myself, but I also know, like, that's going to take a really long time. And, like, reading for myself until I can comfortably afford paying someone to do it. I don't want to become, like, an audiobook reader. but you know, everything takes time, and I'm still trying to produce more of a backlist, and I just have not etched out time to do the reading.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's a big undertaking.
Yeah.
To do it by yourself.
Yeah.
I think it's, in a lot of ways, it's bigger than, it's not bigger than the rest of the production of a book, but in many of the things that you can take on, like the many hats you can wear as being an indie author and undertaking the production part of a book for yourself, like covering all those bases, that is like definitely the biggest job, I think.
Well, and then like I need the house to be quiet, and I need like there's so many different things that like have to come together for this to work. I just haven't.
Yeah.
I know that like if I do it now, it will be because like it's either time or money, right? And right now I don't want to spend the money. I also don't want to spend the time. But again, accessibility is really important to me, and it is the number one way I do my reading. So I was thinking of doing All Roads to Carter first, since it'll be the shortest. And I can kind of learn the process on a product that is shorter, you know, kind of the way that like I suggest people who are having a hard time finishing a project, like start a shorter project because the entire process is shorter.
But at the same time, because audiobooks tend to be more expensive, I feel like people are less likely to buy a short book.
Yeah, I would price like, it cheap, really, right? Or I would do it as like just a gift to my newsletter, right? Or like a gift to my Patreon in the future. I might just use it as like essentially a loss leader, but I would also be learning how to do the process on something that takes less time and effort before getting like halfway through a book and being like, I don't know how I'm going to finish this. You know, does it make sense?
Yeah.
And there's also like, I should do these things now while my backlist is short. So I'm not trying to like do these audiobooks with a huge backlist and like working through them, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Anyway, congratulations, Kate.
Thank you.
Do you want to give a piece of writing advice?
Sometimes you need to stop working on a project for a little while and work on something more fun. Mm-hmm.
I think that's
just to like help yourself and enjoy it.
I love that. That's great advice. Sometimes you need to accept the flaws in your project just to continue having fun with the writing of it.
Yeah, I think that's such a like important thing, is that especially for like first time book writers, like if for your first book, you think everything has to be perfect. And
like you just don't have the experience.
There's so much.
You just don't have the experience of knowing what you can do in editing. Like I used to think that like, I'll do my best with this first draft so that I have very little editing to do, because the idea of editing seems so daunting. Mm. But now it's like, oh, no, I'll just fix it in editing because it's my favorite part to do anyway.
Yeah, or like you think that you just keep editing something until like beating it to death, essentially,
and it has
because
no life
you
left.
Want it to be perfect and you feel like you hate it because you can't get it to be perfect, and you just end up resenting this project.
When you've been stuck on the first 25% because you just keep on going and reworking
or,
it. No, it's okay.
Yeah, like sometimes you just need to like say, fuck it, that's gonna be a flaw that it has, and that's fine because I won't do that next time. Mm-hmm. But this time it's gonna have that. Yeah, no, I think that's such a good thing to like really hold on to.
I agree. It's definitely given me a lot more joy with my writing lately, so
that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will see you another time, listener.
Yeah. Bye, listener. Bye.
Bye.